It's the Jill Kalm Show, featuring internet pioneer, New York Times bestselling author, and international speaker, Jill Kalm.
So let's get started then with today's show. Again, please do share because you're really going to enjoy my guest today. I actually met this gentleman, and I do call him a gentleman, I must say, because he is one. Several years ago, we were both playing as influencers for IBM at one event or another. There's so many of them that we both played at. And we just got to know each other, and I found out that he's not only a super nice guy, but he's super smart. His name is Shep Hyken, and Shep is a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. He is the Chief Amazement Officer, isn't that a great title, at Shepherd Presentations. He's a customer service and an experience expert. He's a keynote speaker, and he works with companies who want to build loyal relationships with their customers and employees. He's a Hall of Fame speaker with the National Speakers Association, so he's kind of a big deal, and I'm also pleased to call my friend. Welcome to Joel.live, Mr. Shep Hyken.
Hey, I'm here, man. Thanks for having me. What a nice introduction. And what I just want to say, you're a very handsome man.
Why, thank you very much, I must say. Is this going to be the Mutual Admiration Society?
It has to be. You know, and I've known of you for a long time. I knew your book, that you wrote, and loved that. And we got to know each other. But I remember like our third or fourth event that we were doing together, it was for IBM again. And we went and sat down and we created an amazing video, like off the cuff, non-scripted. And you remember, they were like freaked out how good we were.
Well, here's what was funny about that. So they actually had an area set up. They were just getting, everything set up, a production studio.
It was
so
beautiful.
That I think they were expecting people, to pay to get time, behind their cameras. And we're like, hey, you can test your setup on us. And they're like, go for it. And we just sat down and interviewed each other. And it's somewhere out there on the YouTubes.
It's on my YouTube channel, Shep.tv.
Shep.tv.
There you go. It says interviews, and there's a strip of interviews, and we're on there.
We are there. This is Shep's website right here. If you want to check it out and see all the things that he is up to, it is at hyken.com. Like, go on and take a hyken. You don't need me to go with you.
It's hyken. Hyken up a mountain.
Hyking up a mountain, hyken.com, and you can see more about all the brands that that Shep has worked with, including Merrill Lynch, Disney, SAP, Lexus, In-N-Out, AT&T, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and so many more, and a bunch of books that have been bestsellers, and Shep has got a new book coming out here in October called The Convenience Revolution: How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience That Disrupts the Competition and Creates Fierce Loyalty. Fierce. All right, let's talk a little bit about customer service and how important it is.
Yeah, where do you want to start? I mean,
let's kind of set the foundation for why, this is something you've chosen to specialize in. Why?
Well, it's what I'm all about. I got lucky. It's like, did I find this or did it find me? Starting from the time I was 12 years old, when my parents were telling me, write thank you notes to the parents that hired me to do magic shows for their kids at a birthday party, magic show business. From the time I remember, I'm 16 years old and plowing driveways. My Jeep didn't start one day. And then all of a sudden, what am I going to do? Well, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I called a buddy of mine that had a Jeep and a snowplow. I said, if you come over, I'll give you all the money. I don't care about the money. I just want to take care of my customers. So, I mean, it was in me. And then when I started my business back in 1983, back when you were just born, I said,
I know you wish that were true, but in 1983, I would have been 19 years old.
Yeah, I know you wish it was true. I based it on what you look like today, but seriously,
flatter me some more, Shep.
There you go. And you are smart. So the back in that day, time, I decided to become a professional speaker because I saw a couple of speakers. I had the entertainment background. I'd been working in a business. They decided to sell it. I had a little college education and my degree and all that. I wrote a speech about customer service. And that first year, I said, this is all I want to talk about. Now, that was like 35 years ago. And we talk about IBM. the top company in customer service back in the 80s was IBM. They were, and they're, by the way, completely different company. They sold computers and mainframes and everything else. Right. They didn't do any of that anymore. But they kind of, you know, it's like everybody talked about customer service and the word, if you looked in the dictionary, customer service, there's IBM's picture and their logo next to it. So, and back in the 80s, they actually hired me to speak for them. Anyway, time went on. And here I am today. I've not wavered. Customer service, customer experience, they tie together. And I've written articles, written books, done videos, learning systems, keynote speeches. If it's about customer service and experience, I'm all over it.
Well, and you've written a number of books on the topic. And so let's see some of the titles here. Amaze Your Customer Every Time. Yes. Be Amazing or Go Home. The Cult of the Customer. I mean, this has been your core, and now the book, The Convenience Revolution, that it comes out in October. Why?
Why in October?
Why does it come out in October? Why did you
write Why does it come out in October? Because that's when the publisher said to put it out.
Yeah.
Check there. Aren't these great? I love these. All right. But we won't talk about them. We will talk about this one that's due out in October. This is
there
the
it is.
Paperback ARC, but it ARC meaning advanced reader's copy. But we'll it will
hold
be
it up ARC. There in front so we can all see. There it is, Convenience Revolution. What's the squiggle? What's that?
The squiggle. So, and by the way, the this is where it just says advanced reader's copy.
Yeah.
Squiggle. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Mm. And unfortunately, a lot of companies, they don't get there quite as easily and as quickly as we should. And that could be something as simple as, all I want to do is call somebody and I want to change the billing address on my, you know, whatever. And it's like, I've got to go and call them and I've got to type in my number. And then somebody comes on and they ask my number again. And what's my security code? And isn't there an easier way? And guess what? Some companies, some credit card companies, cable companies, anybody that you pay with a credit card have come up with very good ways. So that's just a very basic example. But you can think about how much do you love hanging out on hold on a phone when you call somebody? Mm-hmm. The solution today is, and there's really three solutions, wait or why don't we tell you how long it's going to be. We'll call you back when, you know, at that time. It's going to be a 30-minute wait. You don't have to wait. If you want to, you can, but we'll call you back. Or if that's not convenient, put in the time you want us to call back, and we'll call back then. So companies are figuring out ways to create more convenient solutions for their customers, and some companies have made it the value proposition of what they do, separating themselves from their competitors, and in some cases, completely disrupting an entire industry, not just for competition.
Let me ask you this. How much does this have to do with the change in our culture and technology? You know, how quickly things are moving is, you know, convenience, has that always been super important, or is it just more important now than ever?
Well, I mean, we go back to the history of convenience. It starts with the Byzantine Empire in 500 AD when Justinian the Great said, there will be a store selling life's necessities at every street corner for the convenience of the citizens.
And what he meant was Starbucks.
Exactly. I can imagine that horse-drawn chariot coming up, parking in front of a 7-Eleven. But back in the 1920s, 7-Eleven, which it's called today, back then it was Southland Corporation, they had 21 stores that sold blocks of ice for your refrigerator. And one of the employees, they called him Uncle Johnny, set some milk and eggs on top of one of the blocks of ice. And somebody came in and said, I'll buy that. And by the way, they didn't charge the same thing the grocery store charged. They charged a little bit more. But that was the birth of the convenience store. And so convenience stores, they figured it out. Let's be more convenient. We'll have more locations. They'll be smaller. Zip in, zip out. And guess what? We have the basics, not the huge selection. You're probably going to pay a little bit more, but that's all right. It's convenient. And so that's really the concept to my knowledge and my research. I started looking at different companies, and that was one that said, hey, that's our whole proposition. Let's be more convenient.
Hmm. Okay. So you've written this book, and what I want to do is I want to get into the meat of what people are going to learn in it and kind of summarize, because as they begin to hear these six principles of the convenience revolution, they're going to want to go in depth on this. So tell me what you're going to say.
Well, we will go in depth. There are six areas, and I'll go through all of them. I'll tell you what they are briefly, and then there's one company that, in my opinion, is the most convenient store on the planet, or the most convenient place to do business with on the planet.
It's got
to
be Amazon.
You probably know what it is.
It's got to be Amazon.
Got to be Amazon. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. That is the correct answer. Thanks for playing the game. So that's money, baby. Love it. So here's the thing. Amazon is in all six of the areas, and there are many other companies that actually operate in all six. Many of them operate in two or three. And even if all you did was find one area of convenience that you can use to separate yourselves from the competitors, and I'll talk about that in just a moment, it's perfect, and it's what you need to do. I actually, in my case study for delivery, which is one of the convenience strategies, obviously Amazon delivers, but my car dealership that I go to, Kirkwood Audi, they deliver my car every time I need service. They drop off a new car, they pick up my car, they drop it back off. That's delivery. And after 24 years of doing business with a different dealership that wouldn't offer this level of service, by the way, for the same price, there was no additional upcharge for this concierge white glove service. That new car dealership, they disrupted their competition in many ways. I mean, I can talk about it. These are good on top of it. You know, they're a solid dealership. But let's talk about very quickly. I'll mention all six, and then we'll talk about Amazon for just a moment. By the way, car dealership, a local dealership, is a small business, maybe not a solo entrepreneur, but even a solo entrepreneur can use these principles. And then the big companies like Amazon, there's reducing friction, self-service, technology. I can't even read my own writing. Oh, subscription services. And then there is, of course, delivery and then access. So let's break it down. Amazon participates in all six of these. If you think about it, reducing friction. How easy are they to do business with? And every one of the six categories, there is some aspect of reducing friction. But as I mentioned, some companies make it their whole value proposition to do so. So they reduce friction. They're easy to do business with. Technology-wise, you know, boy, they use the greatest technology, self-service. How easy is it? You go on and you find what you want yourself. You don't have a salesperson leading you around. And speaking of technology, do you have a dash button anywhere in your home by chance?
I actually don't. I never got a dash, but I have things coming from Amazon all the time.
Right. But you know what the dash button is?
Yep.
And for those that don't, it's like a little doorbell. And there's, you know, a little sticker on, so you can stick it on the side of, say, it's your washing machine. And if you buy Tide detergent, all you do is when you're running low is you push the button and automatically, how do you like that word? Automatically,
like that.
The Tide shows up in the next day or two. And they have that for all types of consumables. I mean, talk about amazing technology. And the fact that they're doing things like they're talking about having the drones deliver. They advance themselves in technology. I already mentioned self-service. The concept of subscription, you can actually set it up where items are automatically delivered to you at a specific time. Yep, there's the dash button. There they are. So they have a subscription service, you know, box it and save or subscribe and save. The concept of delivery. Well, we already know that's one of the value props that Amazon has. By the way, every one of these buttons, all different colors, are look at it. There's Glad, there's Ziploc bags. You need more, you just push the button. And what is that?
But here's my question about these, because I've never bought one. I'm wondering how many of these, you know, are we going to have?
Have them around the house. You know, if you have the dishwasher, put this one underneath the counter where the dishwasher is. Here's one for next to where the washing machine is. Here, I need printer. There's even one for right next to your bed, but I know this is a G-rated show, so I don't want to tell you what they sell you for right next to your bed.
It's actually a PG-13, and sometimes, depending upon my guests, an R-rated show. So,
I just tell you, they on the side, there's a little dash button for condoms.
How about that? Like, does somebody run like, them right
I
over?
I need it now. I'm pushing the button. I don't need it.
I had no idea there were so many. Okay, continue giving the overview.
Okay, so, and of course, they've got delivery and then accessibility. There's three areas of accessibility that folk really two, but you could divide it into three. Number one is access is location, access is extended store hours, and access, you know, are they easy to get to or communicate with? And really, if you've got, you know, you think about it, Amazon now has distribution centers all over so that they can give quicker, faster, more convenient delivery. So Anyway, let's start looking at them one by one, and okay. I'll just
and you'll have a non-Amazon example for each one, right? Let's maybe, you know, there's six of them. You know, I want to respect your time, maybe 3 or 4 minutes on each one, and you guys should be taking notes on these.
Copious notes.
Copious.
That's what I might take copious notes on this. We're going to have a test tomorrow.
Okay. So, number one,
reducing friction. And by the way, underneath every one of these, once we get past Amazon, I have 5 specific case studies on each one of these. And some are large companies, some are small. This one you're going to recognize, Uber. Talk about reducing friction. This is the, thanks, Branch Messenger says, they love automagically.
Yeah.
By the way, I know I'd heard it before, but my friend John Farrar from Nimble, do you know John?
Of course. In fact, he's interviewing me next week.
Oh, wow. It's like incestuous.
Yeah,
we all love each other. We're one happy family. But he yesterday says, yeah, you put a person's name in and it automatically populates. And I go, oh, I love that. Anyway, reducing friction. Uber disrupted an entire industry. If you wanted a taxi cab where I live, where there's no, I don't live in New York City where cabs are, you know, outside every building there is in the city. No, I live in the suburbs. I want a taxi cab. I have to pick up the phone. I have to call them. And then it'll be here in 20 minutes. Great. 20 minutes later. Now 25 minutes later, I have to call back. Where is the cab? Oh, it's on its way. And then I get in the cab. Where do you want to go? And then they may know where it is, or they may put it in their GPS. And then when I get out of the cab, I have to pay them. So what Uber did, and you know the experience, they said, let's create an app. Now, when you open up the app, you can see how far away your driver is. Oh, 6 minutes away. Fantastic. And then here's the address I want to go to. They tell you how much it's going to cost before you even get in the cab. Then you accept it, and you can watch on the screen as the driver comes. You know, here this little guy turning around, you know, making a U-turn, coming back, whatever. And then he finally picks you up. And when you get in the cab, or it's not the cab, the car, he says, hello, Shep. Yeah, hi, Shep. My name's Joel. So now we know each other. He pushes a button. Oh, I see you're going here. You don't have to tell him. And at the end of the trip, you just get out. You don't have to pay. Well, you do pay, just not right then and there. You don't have to reach in your pocket. It just automatically happens on your credit card that you've set up.
My 77-year-old mother was just here. She just left this morning. She's visiting from Chicago. I'm in Denver. And I told her, you know, Mom, I got some things going on. I'm going to send you back to the airport in a Lyft. And she's like, oh, what time do you need to call for the car? I said, when we're ready. And so I showed her and I did it and she hopped in and I can watch every step, you know, where exactly she was and got a notification when she was dropped off. And she's like, when do you pay? It's in there.
It's already there. Yeah. How do they do that?
It's automagic.
It's automagic. Yeah, it's magic. So
actually, it is auto magic in the case of Lyft and Uber, because auto. Never mind.
I get it. Auto. It's a pun. Some people get their own puns, and then others have to have them.
Bad dad jokes.
So but the cool thing is, I mean, there's many different companies that reduce friction. Do you in Denver? Do you have Clear?
Denver
has Clear.
Yeah,
so Clear is at the airport. It's like you go and you have to go through TSA and security, and you see these long lines. But you know what? You can pay TSA to be TSA pre, which means you're pre-approved. You don't have to take, and you've got that. By the way, that's a very nice, convenient thing. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take anything out of the bag, and you're willing to pay for that. So Clear.
$100 global entry is actually what I did.
Right. Yep. And it automatically gives you.
And it makes it so much easier when you're coming back into America. Oh my gosh.
Yes. So all that's about convenience. But Clear, it's not in every airport, but it's in many airports. And Clear is that on steroids. And I know they have it in Denver. And when I said, do you have it? Meaning not do you personally, have you paid the extra $100 to now get into an even shorter line than the TSA pre-line? Because you go through Clear, you put your fingers down, you show the person your ticket, and they take you straight in front of everybody. You almost feel guilty, but it's like it's a line pass. And they're one of the case studies in here. So
I never feel guilty when people are staring at me as I just slip through TSA pre. I just smile and say, you could do this too. You know,
all you got to do is pay.
You can. Okay, number two. So that's reducing friction. Number two, self-service.
Self-service. And that's exactly the way it sounds, but not exactly what you might think. So are you familiar with Panera Bread? You probably eat at a Panera Bakery, okay? And they're all over. I think there's now maybe close to 2,000 of them, which, by the way, started in St. Louis, Missouri, and was bought and expanded.
I have a question about that, and you probably know the answer. There's also a St. Louis Bread Company.
Same company.
Did they same company?
Same company, but they kept St. Louis Bread Company as the name. It's the same logo, just St. Louis Bread Company, but it's Panera. They just... You know, why take the name away?
I thought maybe there was a divorce or something, you know.
So I believe what happened is a very smart dude, Ron Shake, I believe, is the CEO. And Aubin Pain was bought and a St. Louis Bread Company was bought. And they decided for whatever reason they were going to expand the St. Louis Bread Co. And they've done very well. They're like a darling in the restaurant industry. But here's what happened. A couple of years ago, I'm sitting there. It used to be go to the counter, order your food. Go over to the other counter, wait for your food. They call your name, and I have a name like Shep. If there's another Shep, by the way, that's one of the issues they had. They would grab the food the wrong bag. But that's just the way they used to do it. Then one day I came in, and I noticed they gave you a pager. Why? So that you don't have to stand at the counter, and then when it's ready, you have your pager, and they give you the right food. Then I came in several months later. There's now a little kiosk where I can go up and order my food. There's still a line that you can go and order the food, but they now had an option. And you put in the kiosk, you take the pager, and you now sit down at your table and you set the pager in the middle of the table. There's a sensor, and the person brings your food to you. So one day I said to the manager, why do you do this? And his exact words were, because it's convenient for the customer. The exact words. I thought, wow, brilliant. You know, I'm writing a book about that. I'm going to use you as an example. And that's exactly why they were chosen as an example. And I think one of the cool things is in the interviews and the articles that I did, they don't cut people at the restaurants. What they do is they free these people up to deliver a better service. Now we can bring the food to you and in exchange and interact, you know, comments or whatever, and engage with their customers. And I love the idea that they took the technology to give the customer a better experience. By the way, customer has a choice. They can still go in the line. And I walked in this morning and there was about eight people deep in line. And I just walked over to the kiosk, ordered my food, sat down, done.
Okay. So number two, self-service. Number three, kind of related to that, because the kiosk is a technology.
Sure. But once again, it's not just that, and there's many different examples. As I said, some of these can fall into more than one category, but who has used technology as the value prop, which happens to create convenience? And the company I use as the case study is PayPal. PayPal. If you're in the system, Joel, all I need to do is log on, type in your email address, and put the amount of money I want to send you. Done. Just that fast. And it's an amazing example of using technology to make an even better experience happen. And by the way, the first time you go on, it may not be so easy because you've got to put in your bank account number. But once you set it up, just like Amazon, once you set it up, you've got one-click purchasing. Well, PayPal, if you're in there and I've already sent you something before, as soon as I get ready to send you something, you populate with a bunch of my other friends who I send money to. I just click on it. It opens up. I can send you money in under, I'm going to bet, 30 to 40 seconds, as long
as
you
test that. You should.
How much money do you want?
All of it. No, I don't want to. We know it works. I use it all the time.
Mortgage and everything else with it. If you want all of it, you get all of it.
Love it. So it does work great. It's super fast.
It is. So the next one is subscription. And this is a really cool concept because many companies don't realize they could get into a subscription model. They just don't know it because most people think of subscription as the magazine or newspaper you get delivered every day or once a week or once a month. But a subscription model is a powerful way to create reoccurring income for your business, create repeat customers as a result of the subscription, but most important, create a convenient solution for your customer. So imagine you're a hardware store owner and your customer comes in once every 6 months. Hopefully they come in more than that, but they come in at least once every 6 months to buy a filter for their air conditioner or furnace. So why doesn't the hardware store owner say, you know what, I love that you come in here just for that. Let me make it easy on you. Let's get your credit card on file. And I've got your address, and every 6 months, I'm just going to send you the filter so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, and then you also know it's time to change. Oh, filter's here.
Exactly. It reminds me to do that. You know, every month you get your dog food delivered by Chewy or other pet supplies. It just makes it easy because you know you're going to go through that big 50-pound bag of dog food. Now you don't have to go to the store, put it in your car, lug it up the stairs or whatever. It makes it easier. And the role model that I put in the subscription area is, are you ready for this? It isn't any of these companies. It's Netflix. Huh. Great subscription model because you pay a monthly fee for access to all this content.
Right.
And they use this subscription model and the ease of convenience of streaming, again, technology. And before that, it was delivering CDs DVDs, which, by the way, what happened is one of the founders of Netflix had a bad experience at Blockbuster. They charged him $20 for late fees. You know, that's just not right. And he came up with another solution. And they started Netflix, and now there's no late fees. Back then, it's just you deliver the DVD. And by the way, even though Netflix is primarily known for streaming, where you and I are, that's easy. But there's places in the mountains near where you live where perhaps the internet signal is not quite as good. Mm-hmm. They will still deliver a DVD to, I think, several million customers are still on that plan.
Wow. Will they deliver a VHS?
It's a DVD, not VHS.
You know, yes. And as I'm looking through these, Netflix reduces friction because you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to wait in the mail. You have instant access. It's self-service. You pick what you want to watch.
Right.
Want to watch. And of course, it's technology.
Yep. But I feel that the value prop that they offered us, really, they made it inexpensive. And the revenue is, for them, it's automatic. It comes in every single month.
A lot.
And you know what? And then there's Spotify, who I also have in the book. Their revenue model is different. Let me give it to you free. Now, if you want it without, commercials and ads, then it's a little bit more expensive. But otherwise,
and I pay for it. Totally worth it.
So do I. And they do still have ad revenue, which is responsible for a big chunk of their income. But they're another example of a great subscription model. So, and the next one after that is delivery. So delivery is exactly the way it sounds. Amazon delivers. Your grocery store now might deliver. Blue Apron has those prepared meals. They're also in the book. They deliver. But the company I used, and I mentioned it before, is Kirkwood Audi. They're just a small local dealership. They're really small compared to the much larger dealership where I bought my cars for 24 years. And I probably bought 6 or 7 cars from them over that time. My wife's car, my car, my kid's car. And then I go in one day, totally unexpected. My wife said, "You've got to see this new car. It's just beautiful." And it happened to be in the window as we were driving by a dealership far away from my home. And I walked in there and I said, "Yeah, I want to look at the car, but I'll be honest, I'm probably not a good customer. I live like 12 miles away. The dealership that I do business with, they're just a mile away." And then he says, "Do you see a waiting room anywhere in here?" And the answer was, "I don't see it, no." And he said, "Well, that's because we have one, but you're not going to use it. You buy a car from us, we'll drop off the car." As I mentioned before, they pick up and deliver when it comes to service. And his exact words, "The next time you step foot in this dealership will be to buy a new car."
Hmm.
So, and I bought another one for my wife, and I'm getting ready to buy another one for myself.
They love
it. They win. Yeah. Convenience.
Yeah. So yes. Delivery, number 5, delivery. And number 6, the last
number one. Six.
Access.
Very simply put, access is about, you know, your location. Are you easy to get to? What are your hours of operation? Are they customer friendly? Think about bankers' hours. Traditional bankers' hours are like 9 to 4. Well, I want to go to the bank after work. And at lunchtime, everybody goes to the bank because that's when they have off. Why don't you make it easier? Extend the hours, which is why I use Huntington Bank as the example, because they have extended hours, not only just in the evenings, but on weekends so that their customers can use them. But access is also, as I mentioned, location. There's Starbucks. How many Starbucks are there? There's one place in Houston. The guy says, "I'm at Starbucks." And I just looked across the street. He says, "Is it a mirror image?" No, it's right across the street. There's another one. And you know, that's the case. I mean, up in New York City, it's the same thing with 7-Eleven. Sometimes it seems like they're almost on the same block in a busy city. But how about Walmart? Did you know, here's a great stat, that 90% of the U.S. is within 10 miles or 10 minutes. I'll have to look at the stat in here. Of a Walmart?
Is that right?
That's amazing. That's how many
stores are there?
How many what?
How many Walmart stores are there?
Great question. I don't have that off the top of my head, but I'll bet we can Google it and find out real quickly.
How many Walmart
stores are
there?
I might have put it in here. You'll see me
squint. 6,363 international Walmart stores in 2017. 2018, there's even more. Actually, different depending what Google gives you. I've got 5,358 in the U.S.
Yep.
In 2018. Yep.
And 90% of the U.S. residents live within 10 minutes of a Walmart. And every week, this is what I love. Wouldn't it be nice to be Walmart? One third of the U.S. population visits a Walmart store. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that really is incredible. So access, they've got it. Starbucks has got it. McDonald's has got it. And certainly
Anytime Fitness. Is there an Anytime Fitness near you?
I don't know.
Well, they're all over. They're in 50 states. I just found out when I wrote the book, not even a year or so ago, and we just sent the advanced reader copies to all the companies that were represented in the book for them to look at it. And they wrote back saying, this is really nice, but you should know for the future, we're now not in 17 countries. We're in 30 countries. We now have not 3,000 locations. We have 4,000 locations. We don't have 2 million members anymore. We have 3 million. I go, my gosh, I can't wait till the book actually comes out in another couple of months. It's going to be double that. And so, but here's the cool thing about Anytime Fitness. They have a way for you to get in even 365 days a year, and every fourth year it's 366 days. But they have the ability for a member to get into the gym without anybody having to be there. They have electronic access. So once again, the word access. So access is a pretty cool concept. And again, that could be your website's up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you're a company.
To Shep Hyken here, customer experience and service expert, the book that's coming out in October is called The Convenience Revolution, How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience That Disrupts the Competition and Creates Fierce Loyalty. You can see it's available for pre-order right here on Amazon.com. And the six principles that we went over here briefly are reducing friction, self-service, technology, subscription, delivery, and access. Shep, how does somebody, come away from this now? How should they be thinking about their business and trying to, do they take it all? I need to do all six of these, or, what do you do?
So you don't need to do all six, but you can definitely think about one. And the first thing you want to do is think about reducing friction. Where are the friction points? Start by journey mapping. And the term is almost cliche today, but draw it out. Where are the touch points that your customers have with you and your product? And is there any friction involved? Is there any hassle? Is there a better process? Or if you're from north of the border up in Canada, is there a better process that we can have to make it easier for our customers to do business with us? That's the first step. And any point along the way, using any of the six is always going to reduce friction. Again, if you can make just overall reducing friction the ultimate value prop, that's probably one of the strongest ones you can play. But, think about even as an individual. I'll call you. You don't need to call me. Let me send you the invite. You don't need to send it to me. Let me come to you if we're going to have a meeting and it's local. You don't need to come to me.
I'm noticing that more on, everybody hates hold times when you're calling customer service. And I'm noticing more and more. Would you like us to call you back? Put your number in. You won't lose your place in line. I love that. Love it.
And as I mentioned, I think I mentioned it earlier, you can put in the time you want them to call you back. Mm. So I'm not going to be available in 30 minutes. Can you call me back in an hour? I will be back. As long as I can't talk to you now, I want to go grab a bite and come back. And
it's the bill collector. Call me back. Never.
Exactly. Yeah.
Call me. Maybe not. Well, Shep, I really appreciate your insights here. What else would you like people to know about the convenience revolution and how this will help them?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what I'd like them to know is if they want to buy it on Amazon, I would love for them to buy it on Amazon. And you know what? If you do buy it on Amazon, just send me a little note and just show me, forward me your receipt, and I'll tell you why. I will email you the ebook today. If you go to beconvenient.com, which is the website you're looking at right here, which is actually part of my regular hiking.com website, it'll just automatically come to you when you purchase the book. And here's the deal. It's $24.95 is what the book sells for. They're going to discount it on Amazon. So we're going to include the tax. We're going to include the postage. Just if you buy it from us, it's $24.95. And we will immediately send you the ebook. Yeah, that's a little video about me talking about what we talked about today.
Look at that tie. I don't know what's on it, but I love it. Even from
it's sparkly. No, it's just it's something my wife picked out for me, but she likes it. And if she likes it, well, by golly, I like it.
So order the book. Send a receipt to Shep at this website, beconvenient.com, and you'll get the ebook now.
Almost. If you order the book, you can from Amazon. Just let me know you did it, and I'll send you the ebook via email. But if you order it off the website, same price, we'll send you the ebook immediately. It'll come as part of the thank you. That's the same ebook that they are selling for, I think, $19.95 online. Not yet available till the book comes out in October, but available today if you pre-order the hardbound book.
Such a deal this is.
Such a deal.
So as you are going around and now consulting and sharing this message, I'm assuming that this is the subject of your keynotes.
It can be. For the last year or so, I've included it as one of the sections of the keynote because I think it's important that any company, so far, every single organization that I've talked to, I've been able to work the concept of convenience in. Just the other day, a client said, hey, we're going to have you back to speak a third time. This time, just do a speech on the book. Well, great. I can talk about the six areas. And this particular company is an automobile manufacturer. They will have 30 of their top dealers in the audience. And I'm going to show them how all six of these concepts can work at their dealership.
It'll be auto magic. Wade wants to know, do you have a study guide?
At the end of each chapter of the six concepts are three questions for you to use to sit down either individually or with your team and work through them to determine whether that is a good, viable solution for you. Or, you know, it'll just allow you to brainstorm and learn and talk about it and get it moving.
Excellent. Well, the book is officially released October the what?
October the 2nd.
October the 2nd. Be here before you know it. Can you believe we're this deep into
2018? We're 2 months away. But again, you can get it today. It's just it'll be the ebook, and then the hardbound book comes straight to you from probably Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold.
Beconvenient.com is where you guys go check it out. You can check out Shep's site. Again, there's a lot of content right here. Let me put this up on the screen for y'all to see this, learn more, see his speaker reel here about presentations he gives, all the places he's appeared. He's got a newsletter that you can sign up here right here. It's free. Just put your name, your email in, and you got apps.
I do. I have apps. So just go onto just type in Shep Hyken and get the Shep app. Again, all of this is free. And I want to emphasize that even if you do the newsletter, I am not going to spam you with blatant promotion. It is an article that comes out every week, and I'm very proud of it. I haven't really violated my feeling that this is more about you than me. So here's a great article. I always put a cartoon. Even on my YouTube channel, which is shep.tv, there are 600 or close to 600 videos on all the concepts that I talk about in all of my books and all of my newsletters. And they're chunked into little 3-4 minute videos that you can use at your meetings. We do it nice. We do it in the studio. We put a nice background on there. So it's something that we give away. And by the way, I firmly believe the more you give, the more you get. It's the law of reciprocity. And I keep giving, giving, giving. And for whatever reason, it just keeps coming back. And that's what you do, Joel. And that's why I'm honored to be on your show. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you.
Well, thanks for coming and delivering value as I knew you would. I look forward to bumping heads with you at an event somewhere. You know, you never know.
Sooner than later, I hope.
We end up running into each other, not actually bumping heads because that would hurt. I don't want to do that. The Convenience Revolution, Mr. Shep Hyken, Hyken.com. Thanks again, Shep. Really appreciate it. Brother. Take care, amigo. You guys go and get your copy of that. It'll be of great value to you. And thanks for watching Joel.live. I am Joel. I am live as long as I have a pulse. And when the day comes, I no longer am. It'll be the Joel.dead show. Is there? Okay. Now it's going off the rails. Thanks again for watching. Of course, as always, have a great weekend. And I will see you with another show next week. Until then, do good stuff.
Thanks for joining us for the Joel Comm Show.